2 Kings chapter number 4. Brother Richie, that's right after 1 Kings. 2 Kings right after 1 Kings, amen. And am I on there, Brother Rob? There we go. All right. Make sure I have my mic on. Good to be saved. Also, congratulations, Brother Rich Miss Asia. They got a baby boy coming. Amen. And so we're thank God for that. And Brother Charles said, I pray he's just like Sightler. Bless him, Lord. Amen. And I often say about Sightler, he's something else. We just don't know what he is. And but I'm happy for them. And already thanking God for that. And then I'm thankful today. I told Hook that this is a special day for me and him. Because 6 years ago today, you sent me a text saying they had lost their mind and voted me in as pastor. Amen. So actually, today they voted on me as pastor, and I preached that morning's interim, and I left, and they were so well. I don't know if it's excited now, but they forgot to call me. And if it wasn't for Hook texting me and telling me the vote went through, I never would have known if I got it or not. Amen. So today's our 6th anniversary. The Lord's let us be here as pastor, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's done. And, you know, last year I overemphasized the numbers. I said, you know, 5 is the number of grace. Well, 6 is the number of man. So we're not really going to talk about that this year, amen. Maybe we'll kick it back in when we get to 7. Lord God, no, we ain't going to talk about 13. That's the number of rebellion, all right? So the numbers, you can only go so far with them. 2 Kings chapter number 4. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Now you help us while we try to preach this morning, what I believe the Lord has in our heart. Let's stand together, give you a rest for your seat for a moment. 2 Kings chapter number 4, and we'll read the first 7 verses of the text. I'll draw out a little phrase we want to build our thought upon, and we'll try to preach what the Lord directs today. Once again, thank you for being here. Don't forget about the service tonight at 6 o'clock. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went forth, she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I'd like to draw your attention back to verse number 6, and the latter part of that verse, in verse number 6, the last 4 words will serve as our thought and for our text this morning. The Bible says, And the oil stayed. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's made the effort to come out to be in your house today on this cold morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us now as we look into the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Lord, I pray for someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray you touch their heart, and Lord, they'd be saved by the grace of God. May we see no man save Jesus only. Encourage the discouraged hearts today, and all you do, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people said, Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, when we come to 2 Kings chapter number 4, we find that we are right in the ministry of a man by the name of Elisha. Now, before you can really get to talking about Elisha much, you got to remember that he was the assistant or the protege or the preacher boy, if you would, of a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah is the man who God fed him by the brook with a raven and gave him a sustaining there at the widow's house. And he's the one that prayed the fire die out of heaven there in 1 Kings chapter number 18. But we find that he had Elisha, and Elisha was a servant to Elijah, the man of God. And so in 2 Kings chapter number 2, 2, Elijah goes into heaven. Boy, he went to heaven in an amazing way. He went up in a chariot of fire. What a way to go, man. And he went up into heaven that way. And then, we know that the mantle came drifting back down. And Elisha had prayed for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be upon his life. And in fact, if you study out the life of Elisha, he done twice as many miracles as Elijah did. I believe God answered that prayer. And Elisha here, he is dealing with this woman here, a certain woman, the sons of the prophet. I wanna deal with this phrase in verse number 6 where the Bible says, and the all stayed. Now let me give you a few introductory thoughts that will lead us up to our thought this morning. Brother Rob, if you can just turn up the monitors just a little more on my microphone. The house is good. Just give me a little more monitors. Thank you, sir. I appreciate Brother Rob. He's being a cameraman and a sound man and a recording man all back there. I appreciate all he does. I want to notice, first of all, by way of introduction, we find there is a man who is deceased in verse number 1. The Bible said that one of the sons of the prophet, thank you, sir, that's helping me a whole lot. One of the sons of the prophet had died, and what this man was, being a son of the prophet, he was a preacher, if you would. He was in the Bible college that Elijah and Elisha had started training young men up, and death has come into his life. We also notice there is a debt that has been incurred because of his death. Many writers speculate and believe that this man that had passed away had went and borrowed money in order for the school of the prophets, maybe for a building to be built, and he died before he could pay the debt back. So there is the deceased and there is the debt, but then we find the distress. Now, because that debt is looming over that family, the custom of the day is that the creditors would come and they would take the children, and these are not little children, these are probably older children in the text, and they would have to work to pay off that debt. And can you imagine that mom? She's not only just buried her husband, but now she's fixing to lose her two sons to the creditors, and they're going to have to work to pay off that debt that their daddy had left. But then notice she goes to the man of God, and she begins to cry unto him. And notice the demand in verse number 2. Look at her. He asked her two questions. He said, first of all, what shall I do for thee? I feel like asking that question sometimes when people come to me with problems as a preacher. I want to say, what do you want me to do about it? I can't do nothing for it. I'm just human. I'm flesh just like you are. And then the second question that he asked her, he said, what hast thou in the house? He began to ask her. He said, well, look around. See what you have. And can I say this? When problems come and when troubles come and when situations come, our answer is really not that far away. In fact, for this woman, it was in the house. It was right near her. So I want you to notice the distinction in verse number 2. And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. Comma. And it's almost like she said, I don't have anything save a pot of oil. You see, she didn't think much about that oil. She didn't put much value in that oil. In fact, she said, I ain't got anything. Well, in fact, I got that pot of oil. That's all I got. And can I say this, many times in our life, we will look and say, well, there ain't no way for this situation. There's no help for this. Well, we got God, but I mean, it's really going to be bad. I guess all we can do is pray. Honey, that is not all we can do. That's all we need to do. Now, if you study in your Bible, you'll notice that all in your Bible is a picture and a type of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God in your life. And I love this, even in the middle of all this trouble, verse number 6, the Bible said, and the all stayed. I know it doesn't matter what you go through in your life. If you're saved by the grace of God, we have a friend who will never leave us, and he'll never forsake us, even when she buried her husband, even when the creditors were coming in, even when she had a debt that she could not pay. God never left her, and God never left her alone. And can I say this, even though we have troubles, and even though we have heartaches, and even though we have difficulties, we have a friend that will stick closer than a brother. The all will always stay. Praise God. Now I want to look at 3 or 4 things in the text this morning, and look at this all as a type and a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. First of all, the first 2 points is going to kind of give you a little lesson on what oil is in the Bible, and then we'll jump into the text. But I believe I need to lay this groundwork so we know where we're going. First of all, I want to say a word about the production of this oil. the production of it. Where does it come from? Well, if you study out Bible commentators and you study out reading, they believe that this oil was olive oil. Well, we know where olive oil comes from. It comes from olives. Ain't we all impressed with our education this morning? Amen. And so, but what's interesting to me, two things about this olive oil. First of all, to get olives for olive oils, there was a place you had to go to. You know what that place was? It was a tree. Now, y'all going to have to help me a whole lot better this morning. It was a tree. In fact, if they wanted to get olive oil, if they wanted to get that berry so they could get that oil, they had to go to a tree somewhere. I was reading this week in my motel room in the meeting I was preaching in, and that writer said that in the Middle East, there is an abundance of olive trees. In fact, you couldn't go very far without finding an olive tree somewhere. In fact, he said there were more than enough olive trees to meet the oil needs of everybody in that country. And can I say this? There's only one Calvary. There's only one rugged cross, but it is sufficient for every man, woman, boy, and girl for all eternity. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you had to go to a tree. That pictures the cross. But watch this. In order to get that berry, here's what one writer said. After the olive tree reaches maturity, its fruitfulness lasts for many years. Its longevity is one of the most remarkable characteristics of the tree. It lives and bears fruit for centuries. In other words, it said, you go to that olive tree, you might can even find olive trees in the Middle East. It's been there hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and it's still bearing fruit. Well, can I say this? Jesus died at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And when he rose again on resurrection morning, he became the first fruits of them that slept. But he is still producing. And he'll never, in fact, the Bible said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. He's always been and he always will be. So we find, watch this now, I love this. Those olives, and watch this now. These olive trees, them olives weren't on the ground. It's on limbs. They were above the ground. They were separate from the world. They wasn't touching the earth. Can I say this? Our Savior, even though he put on flesh, he was not sinful. In fact, he was sinless. There was no guile found in his mouth. We have a perfect Savior this morning. And then, in order to harvest those berries, Brother Richie, you know what they have to do to that tree? To get those berries off. They wouldn't go up there and pick them off. They'd get sticks and beat the side of that tree. And they'd beat it. And beat it, those berries begin to fall. And that pictures the torture and the suffering that Christ went through for our eternal redemption. The place they had to go to, but then the process of extracting that oil. You see, the oil was not, the oil, you had to take those berries, and you know what you had to do to those berries? You had to take them to a pressing place. You know what most of those pressing places were, Brother Richard? They were stone. And they take them. You can actually Google some of the stuff just as I did this week and see pictures. You might even see videos of how they take those olives and they would press them. You ever watch I Love Lucy? They would also press them with their feet. Come on, please tell me you've seen that I Love Lucy episode. All right, I was just wondering. Some of y'all are like, I Love Lucy. Kids are going, who's Lucy? Why does the preacher love her? That's Ricky Ricardo. Ricky was her husband. All right. So anyway, they would either press them with their feet. Can I say this? Christ was trodden under the foot of men in his suffering. Or they would take it to a grinding place, a pressing place. Do you realize that when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane that night, you know what Gethsemane means? The olive press. And there as he prayed that night, the Bible said that his sweat became as great drops of blood. There that pressing began to take place. And that precious blood began to get come out of the sweat glands of his body. And he began to be pressed. I said, preacher, why did he suffer like that? Why did he go through all that? I'll tell you why. Go look in the mirror, honey. Because he loved you. And because he loved me, he suffered it all. He went through all that pressing. He went through all that torture. All because he loved you and me. And after they'd press that oil, they would put it in something that's called a vat, V-A-T. It was a stone vat. You'll get it in a little while. It was a container. It contains that oil in that vat. And they often had stone lids they'd put over the top of it. But it wouldn't stay there forever. Because eventually somebody would reach down in there and get what was pressed out of that grave almost and pull it out. And then people would, can I say this, when Jesus died, they wrapped him in them dead man's clothes and they put him in that tomb. But he did not stay dead, because early on resurrection morning, he come out of the grave alive and victorious. Amen. So the production of this oil had to go to a place, and there was a process. But number two, notice the purpose of this oil. What is oil used for? Well, in our day, we think of, 10W30. We think of synthetic or non-synthetic, high mileage. That's the kind of oil we think about. I like thinking about peanut oil, because that means there's a turkey around somewhere. And we're fixing to fry him. Amen. That's what we think about oil. But in Bible days, oil was used for many, many different things. Number one, all these don't start with the same letter, but they all rhyme, all right? So we'll just work it this way. First of all, it was used for preparation. Exodus 29, verse 23, the Bible said, "In one loaf of bread and one cake of oiled bread." In that day and age, they would mix oil into the process of making the bread. Remember there in 1 Kings 17, when Elijah went to that widow and he asked her to bring him a cake? She said, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and oil in a cruse." That oil, it was a part of the ingredients to make bread in that day and age. So I said, "Preacher, what do you mean preparation? Did not Jesus say, 'I am the bread of life'? Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness or dead, but I am the living bread which came down from heaven." And can I say this? That bread sustains you, and it gives you strength, and it helps you go on another mile. And aren't you glad when Jesus moved in, he gives you strength, and he gives you sustenance to go on just another mile? It's used for preparation. But then secondly, oil was used for illumination. Some of you still may use oil, have them oil. I think at Cracker Barrel, they got oil lamps. My favorite thing, Cracker Barrel, is always take out the thing and put the light out when they're closing, amen? Because I'm usually at Cracker Barrel when they're closing. But it was used for light. In fact, Exodus 27:20, the people were commanded to bring pure olive oil beaten for the light. And it would supply that light. Can I say this? That oil being light pictures what Jesus is. He said, "I am the light of the world." Hey, can I say this? I was in darkness. I was in my sin. But praise the Lord, one day I saw the light and it's still shining. But now Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But when I got saved, you know what he said? "Ye are the light of the world." You know how I'm the light of the world now? Because he moved in on the inside of me. And now he ought to shine forth out of my life. Y'all getting a hold of this? Preparation. Illumination. Watch this now. It was also used, and me and my wife had talked about this one last night. I had to ask her because I didn't know about this one. But it's used for application. Here, let me read you a verse. Psalm 104, verse 15. "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine." You know that especially in Bible days, oil was a highly used cosmetic for the ladies during that day, because they didn't have deodorant back then. They didn't have Right Guard to put under their left arm. Somebody say amen right there. So after they would bathe, they would rub down their body with oil that would trap the soap and would fight off the smell. And it was also used, watch this now, to keep their skin from getting dry. To keep them getting dry, they put oil. In fact, the psalmist said, "God, I want you to put so much oil on me that my face is shining." Yeah. Can I say this? Sometimes we get dry and we get cold on God. And what we need is God to touch us and allow us to get in the oil and allow us to have our shine so we don't get dry on God. I preach in some place where it's drier than last year's bird's nest. I'm telling you, it's a bad, but I'm telling you, I like being around a place where God is moving and God is blessing and the people are not cold and dry on God, but they've got that, they're shining. Oh, you can tell, they've just got something about them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So it's used for preparation, illumination, application. Watch this, it's also used medication. If I said medication, remember over there in Luke chapter number 10? that man fell among thieves on the Jericho road, and the Levite passed him by, and the priest passed him by, but a good Samaritan came by, a picture of Jesus. The Bible said he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Watch this now. That application puts the oil on the outside and keeps you from getting dry. But that pouring in takes care of those inward hurts and those inward pains. And can I say this? Brother McBride said it this week in a meeting. He talked to a fellow one time and he said, I'd like you to come to church. He said, well, I got hurt in church once. He said, and I wanted to say, just once? He said, I get hurt at Walmart. I get hurt at Cracker Barrel. I don't stop me from going back because they have something there I need. But I'll tell you, if you've been hurt, if you've been done wrong, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that can go in there and can heal all that hurt, it can heal all that pain. And what the outside cannot fix, God can do an inward work in your life. I hope you are getting hold of this. Got big in my heart this week. Preparation, illumination, application, medication. Watch this. Consecration. That priest, before he go in that holy place, they take blood and oil and put it on his right ear, on his right thumb, on his right toe before he went in the holy place. Also, before a king or a priest could take their office, they were anointed with oil. Can I say this? That oil, you know what that anointing was? It was setting that person apart from the rest. Can I say this? We ought to have God in our lives where we're set apart from the rest. Not that we're better than anybody, because we're not. Amen. We're not better than anybody, but we ought to be different. Yes. We ought to talk different. We ought to walk different. We ought to act different. We ought to dress different. We ought to have a different conversation. Amen. So, it's used for illumination, application, preparation, medication, consecration. This one I didn't know about. It was also used for compensation. Did you know? And I got verses. I ain't got time to read them all. But there are some transactions that were made in the Bible by giving oil. And oil was used for compensation. Didn't Paul write something about the Spirit being the earnest of our inheritance? You know what earnest money is, don't you? When I bought my house, I'm buying my house. In 27 years, it'll be mine. I'm buying it from the bank. Somebody say amen right there. But when I went to get my house, I had to borrow money from a couple of people. One of them's deceased, old male, because I put $500. I had $500, put $500 down. But when they found out I was a preacher, I guess they thought I had a lot of money. Not this kind of preacher. And so I was out of town on vacation, and I said, "We need another $500 down for your earnest money." So I called male, and he robbed a bank and took $500 over there, and was trying to get a date with my realtor. He never met my realtor, never wanted to sell his house. After he met my realtor, he said, "I'm thinking about selling my house." Exactly, God's honest truth, what he said. He had every, but there's only one problem: she was married. He didn't care, but anyway. But anyway, that earnest money, you know what it was telling? It was giving a promise. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna take hold of this. I'm gonna come back and lay claim on what I've just put down. Now, I've already been purchased at Calvary, but I've not been laid hold on. Somebody say, "How you know? I'm not in heaven yet. My salvation is not complete because I'm not there yet. I am being saved. I am saved, but I'm also being saved. So I have the earnest of the Spirit of God living on the inside of me." You know what that tells me? He's put a down payment, and he's going to come back to get me. I'm as good as he is. That is the earnest of our inheritance. If you want Bible, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 talks about that. So the production of the oil, the purpose of the oil. But now let's get in our text. Now that we have this picture in mind, what this oil is, I want you to look at the position of this oil. Where's this oil at? He asked this woman, "What hast thou in thy house?" She said, "Nothing. I have not anything save a pot of oil." Well, number one, that oil, it was in the confines of her house. I said it at the beginning of the message. Our answer and our help is not as far away as what you think it is. We serve a God who's a very present help in time of trouble. It was in the confines of the house. but it was in a container that served as a host. Notice what she said. A pot, not that you smoke, a pot of oil. Now, I'm not too brilliant, but I do know where a pot comes from. It comes from a potter. And a potter, I know where he gets his pots from. He goes down to the bottom and gets clay and puts it on the wheel. And so what she had an earthen vessel that had oil on the inside of it. And can I say this? Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember how I told you how that oil was beaten, how that olive press beat that oil out and they put it in that vat, in that grave, but it didn't stay there? So I said, preacher, where does that oil go after it leaves the vat? I'm so glad to tell you, somebody goes and gets some clay out of the bottom and begins to put some love in it, add some mercy in it, add some water and some patience, and it always don't work out like it should, but he's so patient with it that he won't throw the clay away, but he'll make it again another vessel. And then when it's ready to go, he'll put that oil on the inside of that pot. And that oil that was so valuable is contained in something that was just mud and dirt. I wish you'd get a hold of this. But now that pot of oil is awful valuable. Not because of the pot, but what's because what's on the inside. Can I say this? I'm not worth anything in and without myself. I'm made from the dust of the ground. I'm nothing more than clay. But my value is not on who I am, but it's on who lives on in me, in the person of the Spirit of God. Thank God it was in the confines of the house, and it was in the container that served as a host. The position of the oil. Number four. The pouring out of the oil. Here's where it gets a little sketchy. Because we don't like to give. Especially when we're hurting. Listen to me now. We're hurting. And when things are tight, take. Give me. What you going to do for me? Here's what Elisha said. Go and borrow some vessels. And go borrow not a few. Number one, she had to hear what the man of God said. And the only way she could hear what the man of God said is because she had an ear for what the man of God was saying. You won't get a word from God if you don't have an ear for that Bible and for the preaching of God's word. He said, go borrow some vessels, borrow not a few. Now she had to deal with two things in her life in that statement. Number one, she had to deal with her pride. Because you have to go borrow something when you ain't got nothing. You're going to have to humble yourself a little bit. And before you get what you need from God, you're going to have to humble yourself before the Lord. And then she had to deal with perception because he looked at her and said, don't borrow just a few. Don't limit God. How guilty have you and I been of limiting God in our life? Limiting what God can do. Limiting what God wants to do in our life. He said, go borrow a vessel, borrow not a few. She had to hear what the man of God said, but then she had to heed what the man of God said. Hearing and heeding are two different things. There are people who come to church all the time and they hear every word that the preacher preaches, but they never do anything about it. And James says, if you do that, you're deceiving your own self. James 1:22. So here's the point. She goes and she gets all those vessels. And here's what's odd. All she has is that pot of oil. And now Elisha's saying, all right, well, give what you got. When we get down to the bottom, God don't say, all right, well, wait and stick your hand out. Let me give you something. God says, well, give me what you got left. In other words, give me your all, ma'am. She's holding on to that pot of oil. That's all she's got left. And God said, that's exactly what I want. How many times, this might be where God wants us to preach for a second. How many times we say, oh God, would you please do this? What you got? Well, I have anything except for this. Well, that's what I want. I don't want what you ain't got. Ain't we preaching on ground level this morning? I don't want what you got, what you don't got. I want what you got. I want what you're holding on to and trusting. I don't know what she could have got for that pot of oil financially. Maybe not very much. Probably not enough to pay her debt. But if she, listen to me now, if she would have went and sold that pot of oil by itself, Brother Eric, she wouldn't have paid her debt. She had to heed. So I see her. So they go and borrow all those vessels. Bible said, when you got him, he said to shut the door on the end. It was a family affair. Yeah. Just her, her two sons, and God. And I believe that first little bit she poured, she's real careful. Most people believe that cruse of oil wasn't that big. Not much. Maybe 5 or 6 ounces. Not much. She began to pour, and she began to pour, and she began to pour. Well, there's one vessel. Bring me another vessel, boys. Let me see if I can get a little more out of it. And she began to pour and pour and pour. Well, that's two. Well, boys, bring me another one. And she began to pour and pour and pour. Well, bring me another one. And she began to pour. I can't figure out. And I believe she wasn't as careful when she got on that 10th or 11th. But she begins to pour. And now that oil is sloshing all over the place. God put her in the oil business that day, friend. Can I say this? When you're down to nothing, always remember that's when God is up to something. And He wants to get that thing out of your hand that you're holding on to and saying, oh no, God, this is mine. And say, pour it out. You see, many times when we're hurting is when God wants us to pour our life into somebody else's life. Be a blessing to somebody else. Try to help somebody else. Now, I'm going to be real candid here for a moment. I want you to listen to me. Well, I'm not bragging. I'm going to tell you what God done for me. Can I tell you what God done for me last month? I'm going to tell you whether you want to or not. I preached over at Gordon Heights for Brother Matthew Tucker that week in revival. God gave us a wonderful meeting. And on Wednesday night, I preached a message about standing with the man of God and getting the man of God water that night. Some of y'all were there. And the Lord touched my wife. And I tell people, my wife's half Presbyterian. If God touches, she testifies, shouts, cries, God is there. No doubt about it. God is there. She's Presbyterian, I tell her. And I went back to change. She come back not knowing what I was changed. She said, I think we need to take up an offering for Brother Matthew and his wife. And I said, let's do it. They're passing a plate for me at that time. And she said, well, let's just give them whatever they give us. And I said, okay. So they took, I think it was like $96. Well, you know me, I hate odd numbers. Turns out, after it was over, we gave that couple $500 that night. Gave that couple $500. And man, I rejoiced in that. Two Sundays later, I'm in my office and I get a text from a preacher. It says, the Lord put you and your family on our church's heart this morning. We just took up $600 for you and your family. God is a debtor to no man. Brother Mike, I didn't even give $500. I gave, I think, 100, 120, because they took up 100 for me in the offering, and then I gave a little more. I didn't give, but God is a debtor to no man. This is not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, by the way. This is God honoring His word. Can I say this? I'm so glad that night when I really could have, I thought, man, I really need every bit of that offering because Christmas is coming up. And we got a lot of things going on, but God said, just keep pouring. And so we poured. And you know what God done? God got me sloshing around that Sunday morning when I come in here. I'm telling you, we have a God who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. It's not just financial blessings, but that's just what God done for me. Amen. The pouring out of the oil. Last of all, notice the prospering of the oil. Watch this now. After she poured and she poured and she poured and she poured and she poured. If she was from Rockwell, she said, hey boys, bring me another vessel. She didn't say that, but if she'd been around here, that's what she would have said. And they said, mama, there ain't no more. We done borrowed, stole, bought every vessel in town. We ain't got no more. And look back at our text, those four words. And the oil stayed. That word stayed means it remained. It didn't leave. It hadn't even depleted. And can I say this? God's got enough to go around, and you're not going to tap God dry. You're not going to get God to a point where you say, well, I have less than what I had when I started. Oh, no. He's just the same as He's always been. We have a God this morning who is an all-sufficient God. The prospering of the oil. Watch this. I'll give you this and I'm done. It satisfied her neighbors. She sold it to all her friends and neighbors. I know she made a profit off of this, but here's the point. She shared with others what God had done for her. Don't ever be ashamed to share with others what God has done for you. She shared it with her neighbors. It supplied her needs. He said, go pay your debt. She's able to go pay her debt after she got the money. It strengthened her nature. I guarantee you her faith is a whole lot stronger than what it was in verse 1. Because it is no secret. what God can do, what He's done for others, He can do for you. But then last of all, it showed her God's nourishment. Look at verse number 7. Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, watch this now, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me, Brother Richie, she made enough money to pay her debt, and then she never had another work another day in her life. In fact, that oil took care of her till she got home. I wish I had somebody. And can I say this? We may not have much in this world, but we have God. And that'll be enough to get us all the way home. He is sufficient. But all through this, and the oil stayed. And the oil stayed. It never left. In this woman's life, disease came, but the oil stayed. Death came, but the oil stayed. Difficulty came, but the oil stayed. Disappointment came, but the oil stayed. Discouragement came, but the oil stayed. Doubt came, but the oil stayed. Debt came, but the oil stayed. Distress came, but the oil stayed. And even the old devil may have came by, but the oil stayed. And think about it in our life. Problems come, but the oil stayed. Troubles come, but the oil stayed. Circumstances change, but the oil stayed. Cancer comes, but the oil stayed. You lost your job, but the oil stayed. You married a loved one, but the oil stayed. Was done wrong by someone close to you, but the oil stayed. Sickness comes, but the oil stayed. Problems come in your family, but the oil stayed. Prodigal children, but the oil stayed. Problems in your marriage, but the oil stayed. You stood in a hospital room with a grieving family, but the oil stayed. I'm telling you, we have a God that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all yesterday. 2018 might have been the worst year you ever had, but look back, honey, the oil stayed. Look back at your calendar from last year. January, oil stayed. February, oil stayed. March, oil stayed. April, He's still there. May, God ain't left me. June, He's still there. Anybody listen to me? July, He's still there. August, you go through every day. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He said, I'll never, never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So on this Sunday morning, may I remind you, when everybody walks out, He stays. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. You know what I've been living on since Wednesday afternoon? And the oil stayed. Now, somebody get Grace. She's going to come to the piano in just a moment. I don't know what your week has been this week. You may have the best week of your life. The oil stayed. And you might have had the most terrible, most awful, most discouraging. I mean, the dog got sick, kids got sick, wrecked your car. I mean, just had an awful, awful week at work. Got in a fight with your wife or your husband. I mean, just awful. But the oil stayed. And I don't know what this week might bring. This week, God forbid, but you might get a phone call that changes your life. You might get a call, cancer, lost your job, sickness, trouble, pain, tragedy. We are all one phone call away from the worst news of our life. But I promise you, it don't matter what comes, because the oil stayed. Amen. Just stand together. I appreciate your attention. Heads bowed, eyes closed.